Earners, what's up? Look, I want to give y'all a little peek behind the curtain of producing Earn Your Leisure. It's a lot more than just sitting down and chatting. It involves meticulous planning, recording, editing, and then promoting each episode to ensure it reaches all of you. And if you picked up any of our merch, then you know there's a whole extra layer of logistics from inventory management to shipping. Running a podcast is like running a small business. And speaking of business, I know many of you entrepreneurs are involved in e-commerce. You understand how crucial it is to streamline operations and cut costs wherever possible. That's why I want to talk to you about ShipStation, the multi-carrier shipping solution that integrates seamlessly with all your online sales channels. It's all about optimizing your shipping, connecting with expert partners, and freeing up more of your time to focus on scaling your business. Now let's talk about our experience with ShipStation. This tool has been a game changer for us, especially with automating routine tasks. Being able to manage everything from one dashboard and print shipping labels with just a click, absolute lifesavers. Plus, the discounts we get on shipping costs are incredible. Honestly, it feels like we're saving thousands. And as our show and merch sales have grown, ShipStation's robust automation and reporting features have helped us keep up without missing a beat. For those of you who get overwhelmed by order volumes, ShipStation's easy-to-use dashboard is a dream come true. You can import orders from any sales channel, apply shipping preferences automatically, and handle customer service issues right there. Not to mention the savings with up to 89% off carrier rates like UPS, DHL Express, and USPS. It's no wonder over 130,000 companies stick with ShipStation long term. So, are you ready to turn your shipping challenges into growth opportunities? Head over to ShipStation.com and use promo code EARN for a free 60-day trial. Again, that's ShipStation.com, promo code EARN. Start streamlining your shipping and scaling your business today. This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Earners, what's up? Look, today I want to talk to you about something that's been on my mind, a real weight on my shoulders. You know, we all have these moments, big or small, that just stick with us. When we don't talk about these things, then they can start to affect our lives in unexpected ways. That's why having a space to express these feelings is so important. I know firsthand the benefits of therapy. It's been transformative for my friends and family. Therapy can help you learn crucial skills like setting boundaries and developing coping strategies. It's not just about dealing with major events. It's also about enhancing your day-to-day life, allowing you to become the best version of yourself. So if you've been thinking about therapy, BetterHelp can be a great option for you. It's entirely online, which makes it super convenient and adaptable to your busy schedule. You start by filling out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist. And you can even switch therapists at any time if you feel the need, without any additional cost. So get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/EarnYourLeisure today to get 10% off your first month. Remember, that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/EarnYourLeisure. Don't wait. Don't hesitate. Head over there now. Earners, what's up? Y'all know I'm big on doing your research, sharing your research, and giving credit to where you found the research. But I always get asked the same question. Where do I start with the research? And the answer is easy. It's our sponsor, Yahoo Finance. Whether I'm tracking the daily movement of my favorite companies, doing technical analysis with their easy-to-use charting platform, or checking balance sheets, Yahoo Finance makes something very complex simplified. For more than 25 years, Yahoo Finance has been the brand behind every great investor. Whether you're a seasoned investor or you're looking for extra guidance, Yahoo Finance gives you all the tools and data you need in one place. They're the number one finance destination, producing a holistic look at the financial news cycle, including breaking news, original editorial perspectives, analyst ratings, independent research, customizable charts, and so much more. You could actually securely link your brokerage accounts for a unified view of your wealth, including your 401k and other investments. A comprehensive perspective is what sets apart great investors. And it's how Yahoo Finance ensures you have the insight to look at your wealth in its entirety. With a community of over 90 million users each month, The Real Strength is helping you on your way to financial success. For comprehensive financial news and analysis, visit the brand behind every great investor, yahoofinance.com, the number one financial destination. That's yahoofinance.com. You heard me, yahoofinance.com. Don't wait, don't hesitate. I use it. You should go over there and start using it now.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
All right, guys, welcome back. We are in special headquarters right now. We're not in our usual studio.
But it feels familiar.
Yeah, we got a lot of friends here.
Yeah.
The Rock Nation building, New York City.
Yes.
We only come to this building for special occasions. So we were summoned.
Every time.
Yeah,
every time we're summoned, we show up.
That's a fact. We got summoned today by one of the biggest in the game. Somebody that we've actually been wanting to talk to for a while now, but... everything happens when it's supposed to happen.
Yep.
So, Yo Gotti.
Yes.
Congratulations, first and foremost. I know you got a project that's dropping, Gangsta Grills.
Yeah.
So, we're going to talk about that, but we're also going to talk about everything that you have going on and so much stuff.
Yeah.
I feel like you're one of these people that just keep going. You know, it's like few people, Rose, you, it's like, you know, a few people that just kind of, just when you think they've reached a certain pinnacle, they do something else.
Yeah.
Totally out the box that nobody really expected. So I'm really excited to have this conversation. Thank you for joining us. Appreciate it.
Let's get it.
Yeah, for sure. So, all right. So we're going to talk about the business. But first, let's talk about the project. What made you want to do a Gangsta Grills? Like, Gangsta Grills, obviously, that's like legendary mixtape type series vibes with DJ Drama. Obviously, where you are in your game right now, you're a veteran, label owner, entrepreneur. I feel like you wanted to kind of go back to the core?
Yeah, it's an art piece. You know what I'm saying? Like, at this point, one man, and moving forward, like, any music composition I put together, to me, it's like, it's purposeful, and it's an art piece. You know what I mean? So it's a short project. It's 10 songs, me and Drummer, and it's like, it was like the answer something that I started.
Yeah.
In 2006, I put out a mixtape called I Told You So.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And when I was like, had a vision of doing a lot of these things I actually done. So this is kind of like the follow-up to this, like I showed you. So, you know what I'm saying? And to me, it's purposeful. It's an art piece. And Drummer was a part of that movement. Just the whole culture I had felt back then was a part of that. You know what I mean? I wanted to capture that feeling within the project.
Yeah, when I looked at the titles, I checked the project out, it was dope. I'm going to talk about a few of the songs that I really like. I want to learn how to pronounce the word view like you pronounce it, but we'll get into that. So you went from I Told You So to I Showed You So, right? Which is very fitting because that's a 17-year span between projects. Obviously, coming from Memphis, most people are not looking at it from a hip-hop scene at the time in 2006. This is going to be a prominent place where that could dominate music. What was that process like over the 17 years of continuously grinding to say, like, nah, we got something to say?
I mean, the project was just like an ongoing hustle. You know what I'm saying? It's like, you know, when you're driving the car, you got to have the navigation. You got to know where you're going. Everybody may not know. It may be a lot of people that jump in and out of car. It may be some solid ones that never get out the car, but somebody got to have a roadmap. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I feel like I'm one of them people that always had the roadmap. When it came to hustling or it came to the plan, you know what I'm saying? That's one of the things I feel like I was just blessed with, like the way to, sometimes I don't have the answer. I'm just driving, right? Yeah. But I figure it out on my way, you know what I'm saying? And I always end up going in the right direction.
So let's talk about the label. I feel like you have the hottest label in the game right now with so many artists. Like, I don't know how you're extremely talented as far as finding these artists. Like, are you actually, like, do you have an air as an A&R? Because, like, from ESG to Moneybagg Yo to 42 Doug,
Go.
They're all different type of artists,
yeah,
but they all make hit records. Like, how do you continuously find artists and get them to become stars?
I mean, I don't do it by myself. You know, of course, I think, well, of course, I got the A&R era. I got the eyesight. I got the indicators. I got, you know, everything we need to identify the right talent and to move it in the right direction. But it ain't just me by far. You know what I mean? We got a big team. We got a big staff. Mm-hmm. You know, and we run our company like an open table discussion type. You know what I mean? Like, anybody can present anything. You know what I mean? You don't even got to be an A&R. You can be anybody. Be like, I think this dope. I think this kid here. And you just put it on the table. We look at everything. Yeah. And if we think it's, you know what I'm saying? If we think it's some, of course, I got the last say it. Like, you know what I mean? Like, if I think that's what it is and my team believe that, I'm going to make the right decision. So, but it ain't, you know, every artist can come differently.
How do you determine? Because you haven't really missed. That's extremely difficult to do, to just continuously get artists that are successful. That's almost impossible. How have you been able to? It's one thing to, you know, identify a person has talent. Another thing to identify a person can actually go through the process and actually make it. It can't just be luck. Like, after five people, there's a system that's put in place. Like, you have to have something that is filtering people to make it. So, like, what do you look for in an artist to say, like, this is a person that I really want to invest in?
I think, first of all, I'm an artist first. You know what I'm saying? So I understand artists.
What's up, bro?
Yeah.
We are being interrupted by Mike Rubin.
There you go.
Guys, I got to come
say. What's up, man?
How you doing?
What's up, guys?
What's up, bro? How you doing?
Hey, sure. Good to see you.
How you doing?
Sure. All right. How you doing? Same here. I'm interrupting the show podcast here. I'm going to listen. I'm here to interrupt calls.
Keep it rolling.
Talk about my guy killing it. My mission, man.
Finish up.
I'll see you guys. I'll let you guys go back to work.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, but I mean, I was saying I'm an artist first, so I think that's one of my biggest strengths is that I feel like I can understand the artist in a way nobody else can,
mm-hmm.
or most executives can't. You know what I'm saying? Like, they may understand, you know, marketing or different things that I understand too, but understanding the artist and knowing how to motivate an artist, how to help an artist, how to pull things out of artists, you know, knowing how to shut an artist's confidence down or ego down or not getting in their way, that's a whole nother trait. You know what I'm saying? So I think I know that from being an artist myself. And also, like, we just try to pick right. You know what I mean? Like, we don't just sign anything or anybody or, you know, we make sure we do the due diligence that we picking the right person. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah.
So we ain't just got a lot of things in the mix that's taking up a lot of time.
So being an artist, right? And I think this is something that you've mastered and we've seen very few people master. Having a label and having artists that sometimes will grow even bigger than you are at the present time. So we've watched Moneybagg explode. His career is out of control, right? And then you come back and 42 is incredible, right? ECSG is incredible. And then Glorilla just comes through and smokes everybody. How was it from your standpoint of being like, one, you're an artist and getting out of the way of your artist to succeed and encouraging them, right? When I'm listening to Fake Love, I'm like, yo, he's reflective of these moments, right? Even the Billboard cover was like, nah, I'm not doing this cover unless they're with me. So like, is that something that you had to grow into to realize like, yo, I'm gonna get out their way, let them shine, their success is mine? Or like, how do you balance that?
Well, first, I think all the artists I work with is like different artists, and that everybody's different artists, they different businesses, they all their own separate businesses and entities. That's how I look at it from a business standpoint. Like, everybody business model to success or profit or whatever it is we trying to do is different.
Mm-hmm.
You know, what worked for Glow, you know, that ain't mean that work for Moneybagg, or work for Moneybagg don't mean that work for G or Doug.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? You got to be like that in tune with the details. It ain't like a factory where you're just doing the same thing
right
with every single person that come through her. You know what I'm saying? And I don't think I had to grow into that because I ain't never been that type of individual. You know what I'm saying? You know, before I was in the music business, when I was just in the street, I was able to get money with my partners in the street without having an ego or issue. Mm. You know what I'm saying? Like, I always been a selfless person and I always been a team person. So I ain't never have to grow into stepping out the way. I'm out the way anyway. You know what I'm saying? I went anyway.
Not
in
easy
the beginning.
To do. Not easy to do.
You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So, you know, I understand my position. I understand I'm a team player. I know how to play my role. You know what I mean? I let people do what they want to do. I don't get in nobody's way. You know what I'm saying? I do what I'm supposed to do for them. And we don't have no issues.
So let's take it back to the beginning. You start, because the first time I heard about you, it was crazy. I haven't heard your name for a long time, but I wasn't in tune with your music. And I saw a video, I think it was in Dallas, and you walked through a mall and like you shut the mall down. And I had never heard your songs before. And that just blew my mind that I'm like, damn, like independent, like I never heard his music before. And he obviously in the South was like Jay-Z, yeah. Like, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So
what's the first like step that you took to get the label off the ground? Did you come in independent as a label or you came in as an artist, then signed with the major? Like, what's the process from the start to here?
I came in as an artist through my own label from the beginning.
Off the rip.
Yeah, off the rip. But then, you know, as I got into the game, you know, I signed as an artist a couple of times to different labels, TVT Records, RCA. You know, I bought myself out of a couple contracts, you know what I'm saying? I bought myself out the deal with TVT, the one with RCA too. So I played kind of on both sides of the field. And I think, you know, as an artist, sometimes you have to, depending on everybody, what you need, what you don't need is different. You know what I'm saying? So I came in though as an artist with my own label. From the beginning, I went into just being an artist on a major label. I came back out of this system, you know what I'm saying? Said I was going to be independent forever. Ended up doing a partnership with a major again because I felt like that would make sense at the time. So it's just, you know, I've been going through different layers of it.
Yeah, there's one thing that I've never heard, and this is quite astonishing, right? Like a lot of times in the music business, we hear that artists, they didn't like their contract. It was a bad deal, bad contract. I've never heard a story about that from you. So like, how did you get the business savvy to navigate through all these deals and make sure that you're on the right end of everything that you signed?
I mean, keeping it G, I ain't saying I was just like super business savvy on this, you know, common sense. I think common sense is the best business sense. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't say I was super savvy on the music business from the beginning, you know what I'm saying? Like, I think my first couple contracts were bad. Mm. I just ain't a complainer. You know what I'm saying? I ain't the type of nigga that make excuses and be whining. I don't feel like getting on the internet talking about a contract helps me. You know what I mean? What that do for me?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, you know, it's like, you in what you in, get through it. If you learn something from it, don't get it again. That's the type of person I am. So you'll never hear me whining and complaining and making excuses about even if I'm dealt a bad hand, I'm gonna just make the best out of it and learn from it. You know what I mean? So I wouldn't say that my first couple situations I went into were the best ones. I don't know if you heard me say that I bought myself out.
Right.
My first couple contracts, I had to buy myself out for a reason. You just ain't never seen me on the internet whining about it. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, I think that's the difference.
How much did it cost to buy yourself out?
I think the first one was like $400,000 or $500,000. I think I signed for, I think they gave me like $40,000.
How many albums was you obligated for?
I mean, like the typical contract, probably like 4 or 5.
Okay. So why'd you buy yourself out? You just didn't see it going anywhere?
Yeah, I mean, the company had kind of folded. The company had folded, and then the contracts got acquired by the next company that bought it. You know what I'm saying? So we basically moved to the company that bought the other company. You know what I'm saying? But I wasn't really like super pleased with the original company anyway. You know what I mean? So I saw that as a move when they went to the new company to approach them like, yo, I'm trying to like do something different. You know what I'm saying? But I ain't asking for nothing for free. You know what it costs or how we can work it out.
Paid a cost to be the boss. So 2006, the first mixtape drop. Well, not the first mixtape, but the first Gangsta Grillz drops. 2013, there's a transition where now this isn't a Memphis story. This is becoming a national. Everybody's starting to know the name. What was the strategy from your team at that point to say, all right, we got to make ourselves more known to the general public. We got to become part of the fixture of hip hop culture.
I feel like we always felt like that. You know what I'm saying? I feel like we were just hustling and, you know, trying to make our way through the game and learning as we was going. You know, I always been a studier, so like I always studied certain people like Jay-Z and Jay Prince and Master P, Birdman and Slim. I actually spent a lot of time with Birdman and Slim earlier in my career, and that kind of taught me a lot of my executive skills and just really just seeing the game firsthand from being able to like watch a person go through it and deal with it. Them years that I was around Birdman and Slim was probably like to me some of my most valuable lessons and game I was able to pick up.
What's one of the things you learned from them?
I mean, one of the things I learned that like, you know, you gotta take this shit serious and you gotta work. You know what I mean? I don't think I seen nobody that worked more than them. You know what I'm saying? So I look at life like this, right? So, you know, this is Cash Money Millionaires and they going to the studio every day. The studio is the office. You know what I mean? So I'm like, if niggas ain't working more than them and they, you know, 100 times ahead of you, they out hustling you and you way behind. You know what I mean? So like if anybody that you probably ever talked to that been around just the Cash Money family system, like, you know, the way Wayne was in the studio, the way they stayed in the studio, like this was like the trap, like every day wake up, report to the studio. But it makes sense, right? Because you're selling music. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Like, it's like being in the street, but you never own you feel me? Like, what you doing? You know what I mean? So that was one of the things I learned. And, man, a lot of more things, you know, a lot of things I learned just, you know, directly and indirectly.
So the situation that you have now, CMG, you said it's distributed through Interscope?
A Universal partnership with Interscope.
Okay. So when did that formalize?
Man, that was a couple years ago. Yeah, like maybe 2-3 years back.
So what is that? Because we heard that a lot. Like, what does that actually mean? So that means that they distribute it. All right, we get that part of it. And then...
How do I save? Where do I invest? Can I build wealth to pass on to my family? Fidelity's got answers for you right here at InvestFest. Stop by booth 201 to chat with Fidelity's financial education consultants and pick up a fresh perspective on investing at one of their popular mini seminars. Their money pros are here to help you make smart financial decisions that can elevate your life and lay the foundation for a lasting legacy of Black wealth. Fidelity at InvestFest will be your first stop on the road to financial greatness. Learn more at fidelity.com/blackwealth or visit booth 201.
You hand them the music, they distribute it, they pay for marketing, or you got to pay for marketing, they take a percentage of the album sales. Like, what's the actual business behind like that type of vibe?
I mean, it's a partnership. Like, a true partnership is like, you know, somebody that invests, right? It's basically like an investment, right? Mm-hmm. You put up the paper, but I stand behind the paper. You know what I'm saying? It's my company, it's my decision. You know what I'm saying? I got to make sure I deliver it for me. You know what I'm saying? But, you know, it just comes with services too. So you may have you have different radio staff, or you have, you know, TV and film, and you have different departments that you also able to tap into outside of the financial resources that they give you. But it's still your company, though, and you driving the car and your company, because they have partnerships with many people. So they're not writing the plan out for you. You know what I'm saying? They just helping you. They basically your partner.
They give you a budget?
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And your budget is determined by how successful you are. Like, every record label does that.
I think your budget is determined off. I actually think your budget is determined off if they believe you know what the fuck you're doing or not. You know what I'm saying? Because actually, I can do whatever I want to do. You know what I'm saying? If I say, get that person this or spend this on this person to do that, I ain't never getting questioned. You know what I'm saying? But I'm also proven to know what I'm doing. So I believe is if they feel like you know what you're doing and who you is, I think that's how the partnership go. You know what I mean? Probably no different than your business if your partner felt like you wanted to do an interview at the top of the
Empire State.
Yeah, Empire State building. Like, man, shit cost $300,000 to do. That don't make sense. You know what I'm saying? Or they just believe in whatever you say is the way, because you always proving that the plays you make always pay off. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? They're always the right plays. Every time, everything you bring to the table, it always works.
It's like Michael Jordan could scream on a coach.
Yeah.
yeah, John Paxson can't.
You know what I mean?
Just like that.
So I think with me, I just thought about that when you said that. You know, I create my own budgets.
How is it when, you know, there's a project or there's maybe a piece of art that an artist is trying to create and you don't see the vision, but the artist does, right? Like, how do you navigate through that? Because, I mean, there's got to be a resolution, or sometimes you have the final say, but, you know, the artist is looking at it as their creative piece of art that they're offering to the world. So how do you navigate that type of situation?
With me, with every artist I work with and ever work with, they always got the final say.
Mm.
Yeah, is they art? You know what I'm saying? Is they life? Is they art? You know, I'm more of a like a mentor, advice. You know, like truly your partner who we can go back and forth about how, you know, it's opinion and advice. But at the end of the day, whatever the artist want to do, that's how we rolling.
So I always look at running a label kind of like a coach. You got to manage personalities.
Exactly.
Extremely difficult. Mm-hmm. Everybody's coming from different areas. They got different egos. All artists have egos. It has to happen. You wouldn't be a successful artist if you didn't have an ego. Some people's egos are bigger than others, but you have to manage that. How difficult is that? And how do you manage dealing with so many different people and making sure that everybody is happy, taken care of, and not feeling neglected? A lot of times people don't tell you that they feel a certain way until it's too late. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, how do you do that?
I mean, I just try to, like, you know, I think one of the most important things is your relationship with everybody individually. You know what I mean? Whatever bond it is you build. So I'm heavy on it. And to me, how you be heavy on it is transparency, truth. You know what I mean? Whether it's good or bad, I'm always going to tell you the truth. You know what I mean? Because I want to create that relationship just like, you know what I mean? Like, we like brothers, meaning like you can tell me the truth. You know what I mean? Like, and that's me and your thing, whether it's good or bad. Like, and it ain't gonna ever leave me and you. You know what I mean? So to me, my goal is to always create that with whoever I'm working with. And it's like a trust thing. Like, if I can trust you and you can trust me, then no matter how good or bad this shit be and we in it together, to me, that's the strongest thing you can create. And then make the business flow. They make the business flow like even smoother, because now you and the artists always know that, like, you 1,000 with them. And if you won, you gonna let them know, not in front of everybody. You know what I'm saying? Like, we can be in there in front of Interscope, and I think what you're saying is the worst shit in the world. You know what I'm saying? But I never say it.
We're gonna have a conversation after.
You feel me? I never say that shit right there. You know what I mean? Now, when we leave, I ain't gonna even say it in front of, you know, my people and your people. You know, when me and you get alone or me and you get on the phone, then I tell you, like, I don't agree with that. I don't think that shit's smart. But I'm also going to tell you, but if this is how you want to roll, this is how we're going to roll.
Stand up.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But I got to let you know, because I can't afford, if it go wrong, for you to tell me, why you ain't tell me this shit? You know what I mean? Like you, why you ain't tell me I was tripping, bro?
I've seen some videos in the past where I'm like, I know he gonna say something after this video, but he right. Yeah, I mean, yeah. That's just stand up.
But you gotta, because I feel like, bro, when you're a true team, you gotta be able to take the hit sometimes or the hard part of the loss or whatever. Just like you can go to the bank with a motherfucker. You know what I'm saying? You gotta be able to, you know, take the hit with them too, if that would it cause.
You seem as a leader, just from looking at it, you're more of a laid back type of vibe. As opposed to hip hop, we've always had the label owner in the forefront. Like Diddy, like Suge Knight, like, you know, these are like very like aggressive personalities. But you seem like you're more like, you said, you kind of just let them do what they want to do. You might give them advice. You always like that? Or is this something that you had to learn to kind of like just play a little bit back and kind of not be too assertive?
I think I've always been like that. Yeah. I've always been like that because, again, I always understood team. I always understood that team win championships. No one person win the championship, not even me. Mm-hmm. And it's my label. I can't do this shit by myself. You know what I'm saying? Be young the artist. Like, I got 20, 30 staff members.
Yeah, I wanted to go
there. You know what
I'm
saying? I got 20, 30 staff members. To me, that's just as important.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I can't do it all without them. You know what I mean? Like, we working 24 hours round the clock for 8-9 people every day. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Fixing shit, planning shit. Mark, you know what I mean? Like, you can't do that. You can't do that by yourself. You know what I mean? You got to have the right team.
Yeah, I was just going there because as you're talking, I'm thinking to myself, yes, you're signing artists, but when you sign artists, they come with an entourage of people. But on top of just signing them, you're actually, every time you get a new artist and they are super successful, you're scaling.
Yeah.
And so you have to hire new people to help with that scaling process. So like, how involved in that are you? Is there somebody, like who are the people on the team that make sure that, all right, we're going to a point, we got to scale, what's the budget, you know, who's making pay, like who's doing all that?
We ain't running no, like, this ain't no.
Yeah, because people forget that. It's,
you know,
a business.
We ain't running no fake label shit over here. Like,
right.
Like, we got everything, you know what I'm saying? All the financial shit, HR, like everything is professionally ran, the offices, everything is like, you know what I mean? And I try to bring on, actually, every time we sign an artist, we try to bring on 2-3 extra staff members. Because we want every artist to have people.
Dedicated.
That's dedicated to just them. You know what I'm saying? So every time we bring on an artist, we bring on more staff.
Yeah, I think people forget that part. It's like they, you know, you see artists and they become successful. The first thing they want to do is like, I'm going to create a label. But there's a business that goes behind
it.
They miss the structure.
You got to run the business behind it. Because I ain't finna be, you know, my thing is I ain't doing this shit to look good. I ain't doing this shit for nothing. You know what I mean? Like, I'm most definitely ain't one of these niggas just with a hoodie and a logo on it. You know what I mean? Nah, I'm playing this shit for real.
So let me ask you this, your perspective on this, because we ask artists this and they all kind of have a lot of similar views on it, but they never also actually invested in a person and it might not have working out. What's your viewpoint on 360 deals?
I feel like business is business, right? You know what I mean? Going back to what I was telling you about myself in my younger days, right? In my younger business ventures, I think business is business. Right, I think who said this? Did Hov or somebody say this? Like, what's 100% of zero?
Yeah, Jay, I think.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
So to me, you ain't thinking logical when you think you get everything and nobody get nothing from you. you're not. That's not common sense,
right, bro.
You know what I mean? So if we meet, just give us a name. Say this a brand new artist. We walk out this building today, right? What's your value today? How much you getting for a show today? How many records you selling today? How much merch you selling today? Nothing. You know what I mean? You grossing
zero.
$500 a year, right? So now let's say us three put the money in, put the work in. Now you making $500 million a year or $5 million, whatever.
Yeah.
We don't fucking get none of that.
Yeah.
Because it's a term, they say 360 and it don't sound cool and you seem like you more bossed up because you ain't in one. It's bullshit. That ain't business.
Stand on business.
You know what I'm saying? So you basically telling me you want me to put up my money, you want me to put up my time, you want me to take my risk, but you don't want me to get nothing.
Or take, because I have a...
Because it ain't guaranteed that you're going to win.
Here's my opinion.
You know what I mean? It ain't guaranteed that you're even going to win.
Here's my opinion on this. I'm interested. I said this and I got some backlash. To me, there's no such thing as a bad deal. Because people... And here's how I view this. People say they got a bad deal after the deal. Like 3 years after you're educated, after you have enough money. But in that moment, you wouldn't have taken a deal if it was bad. Like, hindsight is 2020. You can't look at it like that. Like, you saying, like, yeah, I got 500,000. But yeah, in that moment, 500,000 changed your life.
But in that moment, you didn't have $500.
Exactly.
Yeah.
You feel me?
Exactly.
And you had no outlets, and you had no team, and you had no information even how to get $5,000. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And you maybe wouldn't have never made it.
Chances are, probably not.
You feel me? Yeah. So, I mean, but I believe in being fair. You know what I mean? And that's, again, with me being an artist first. You know what I'm saying? I feel like you have to do correct business. I believe that you have to be fair. So I don't think going back to your question, I don't think the thing is bad. You know what I mean? Now you can dive into what the percentages of it is.
Mm-hmm.
And it's different. You know what I mean? If you're taking everything from them, it's different. Because now you ain't being fair.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? But the ideal of, I don't supposed to eat with you, but I can work with you. That ain't common sense to me.
Yeah. So as an exec, like, let's say we get this so-called artist. What's the process of rolling out a new artist? You've done it plenty of times and you've done it successfully. So what's that process like? Is it, are we looking for what they have that's original to the market? What's the analytics? Where they popping at? What's their sound? Like, what? How does that process work when you're debuting somebody new?
I think every artist is different. Again, going back to, I think every artist is a different business.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the approaches are different depending on what artist it is, what genre of music it is, where they from, you know what I mean? Like, what the focus is. So I think, to me, the first step is identifying who the audience is. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Who we going after? Because if we know who we going after, then we start to build the plan from there. If we're going after the streets, we're going after the internet, we're going crossover, like, what we trying to do? Because each one of them is a different map.
Yeah.
So I think the most important thing is a lot of people skip the first step, which is identifying what you even is. You know, one of the first things most artists say when you meet them, you ask them, so what type of, because this when you're trying to identify the audience, you like, so what type of, not comparing yourself to anybody, but what type of artist you, just so we understand who the demographic in the audience is, like, oh, I do everything.
That's tough.
Think about it. Yeah. Because most artists, from a talent level, you probably can. You probably can do everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Nowadays, you got artists who can rap and sing. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
You got artists who can, like, so you can be. But when we trying to identify who we going after, who the audience, that ain't a good answer. Because now we just sitting there like, we don't know. We don't know who to go to least first.
Yeah.
Even if we're going to go in multiple audiences, like, we don't even know where to start it. I say this thing of, like, you may have somebody that work at the Benz dealer, and he the every month he the employee of the month. He sell 100 Benzes a month. Then you take him to a Kia store and he can't sell a car. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. It's because he don't know the options.
He don't know
the options to the car that he's selling. So I gotta know the options. You know what I'm saying? To even sell the product.
So let me ask you this. Switching gears a little bit, you're an entrepreneur, not just in the business of music, but all types of businesses. DC United.
Yeah.
You are part owner of that. That's the soccer club football for all the Europeans. How'd you get into that and what's the deal with that?
I had an initial meeting with one of the other owners of the team. You know, we was talking about something different at first, and, you know, between building the relationship and talking and telling what I was trying to do, you know, my visions and life and where I was trying to go. And I think the opportunity just presented itself, you know what I'm saying? And I was in position to take the opportunity when it presented itself. And that's one of my biggest things, like, I feel I'm trying to do with diversifying entrepreneurship, you know, and as who I am and what I represent to the culture, just to show that we could do other shit.
Mm-hmm.
We can do other things, you know what I'm saying? Like, you know, of course we don't got to street hustle. We don't got to just do rap music either.
Yeah.
We can own professional sports team. We can do real estate. We can do trucking companies. We could do, you know, we can be in tech investments. We can be in whatever consumer goods, whatever we desire to be in if we, you know, stay on point and stay on your pivot like you need to be.
Yeah.
And make sure you're in position. One of my biggest things, make sure you're in position when the opportunity presents itself.
That's right. If you're not there, you wouldn't be able to be part of the ownership. Was it MLS intentionally, or was it because that was the opportunity that was presented in front of you? Because it is a fast-growing league. I'm not even sure if people understand how fast the league is growing, how much the appreciation from 20 years ago on some of these clubs. DC United was a prestigious one.
Yeah.
And congratulations on being part of it. Was it intentional MLS, or it was based on the opportunity that presented itself?
I think it was based on the opportunity at the time, you know what I'm saying? But I think things are full circle, meaning, like, some of the guys that I was able to was able to get into that,
mm-hmm.
I had knew from years and years and years ago, because it had something to do with the Memphis Grizzlies team. And I was trying to buy into the Memphis Grizzlies. And unfortunately, I wasn't able to do it, but I was trying to do it. I was trying to bind the Memphis Grizzly a decade before I got into DC United, but it's some of the same people.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, their relationship started 10 years before that. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
And, you know, 10 years later, that opportunity presented itself.
Yeah. I saw this a couple of weeks ago, you know, as MLS, you were at the White House, and I'm looking at Yo Gotti, and I'm looking at Jill Biden. And I'm wondering to myself, the guy who made youngsters on the come up is now standing next to the first lady. What was that moment like for you?
I mean, for me, it's like, I look at everything just like, I don't know, I'm just a selfless person. So I don't even like, you know what I'm saying? Like everything I think about is like us. You know what I mean? When I say us, I mean just like the culture, the environment, where we come from, meaning like, I just look at everything like I'm there, like we there. Mm. Like, I just hope that people see that like, man, we her, or we can be her. We can, you know what I'm saying? Like, because these things, I didn't even like, that wasn't even part of my plan. Like keeping the G,
yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, 10, 15 years ago, I wasn't thinking about, that wasn't even in the goals. I wasn't thinking about, man, I'm get to the White House. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just figuring out trying to be a successful financial hustler. You know what I mean? But I'm grateful for everything that happens, you know what I'm saying? And I take it serious and I respect it. And you know, I'm proud of everything, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I was watching the soccer skills. They're okay.
Yeah, but you know, my son plays soccer.
Does he?
So that's how I got introduced to the sport. It's the only sport my son ever played. Mm. So, you know, being a father, going to practice, going to games, I learned about soccer. You know what I'm saying? I didn't grow up like, I don't know if I probably never even seen a soccer field where I grew up at. Mm. You know, I thought a soccer ball was a flat basketball. You know what I'm saying? Like the first couple of times we playing with a soccer ball, like, why this shit ain't bouncing? You know what I'm saying? So, but you know, my son, he living a different life than I live. So his school got a soccer field at the school, and that's the sport that he decided to play.
Yeah.
You know, so I'm just, whatever he decided, I'm supporting it. So I learned the rules of the game and everything through him. You know what I mean? So that was a different accomplishment for me too, because when I was able to go back to him and be like, yo, you heard of DC United? We thinking about buying into the team. What you think? You know what I mean? I was able to get his advice on just soccer in general and the team. And like, he was a big part of that whole transition for me. So that's a whole nother feeling and accomplishment for me to like be able to have my son almost walking me through the deal. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's fine. So talk about Privé. The restaurant in Memphis.
Yeah, you know, Privé is like a staple of Memphis now. That it became is one of the spots. I feel like anybody come through Memphis, they stop it. It's a family ran business. You know, when it come to that, that's probably one of the hardest things I ever done.
The restaurant?
Out of every business I ever ran, that's the hardest thing I ever tried to do.
Yeah,
and it's probably the only business I ever failed at, in a sense. Like myself personally, like when I was running it hands on myself the first couple of years it opened, when I was trying to do everything hands on, like when I say fail, not that we ever went out of business or went up.
The time has come, ladies and gentlemen.
InvestFest, that's right.
That's right. InvestFest 2023 is here.
August 25th, 26th, and 27th in Atlanta, Georgia. We are taking it to a new level. Bigger than ever this year, we're going to do 20,000 people in Atlanta, Georgia.
I want you to do yourself a favor. Head over to investfest.com right now.
We will have activations from Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. 3 days, musical performances, billionaires. Everything is going to be a completely life-changing experience. Vendor Marketplace, Food Truck Village, you know how we do.
Don't wait, don't hesitate, head over now.
Under, meaning that the numbers was upside down, way upside down. You know what I mean? Like, it didn't make business sense. Like, if I weren't financially who I was probably making paper other places, the average person probably couldn't even support it. It would have been shut down. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm taking paper that I'm making other places, keeping it open. You know what I'm saying? But it, once I gave it, till I stepped away from it and gave it to, like, my family, you know, my mama and sister and them to run it. You know, they turned it around.
How'd they turn it around?
I had to ask them. Now, you know what I'm saying?
Congrats
like,
to them.
What do you think the obviously restaurant, one of the hardest businesses to be successful in, period. Like, I think like 90% of restaurants fail. But from your perspective as a restaurateur, you said you was actually hands-on. What was the issues that you was having?
I think for one, you got to like, to be successful in a restaurant, if it's not a chain, I think you have to be there. You have to be in there, like, you know what I'm saying? You have to like have a true sense of, you know, everything that's happening, everybody that's working for you. It's one of the biggest stealth businesses you ever have. You know, me, I call myself like just hiring the best people. You know what I'm saying? So I wasn't running it myself, but I'm like, okay, this person worked for this restaurant, I'm gonna pay you more. And this person worked this here, and I'm gonna pay you more. And I'm trying to assemble the best team to run it, and it still won't work. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like I'm paying people more than what they was getting paid at their job to come run the restaurant, because I'm thinking that's the right thing to do. You feel me? But it ain't work. You know what I'm saying? And my family went in there, and I don't know, you know what they did. They 360 the joint, turned it around, and you know they ain't need enough of me since. you feel me? And it been up and running. Smooth for 7 years with just them.
So you got the investment inside of the MLS. You got the restaurant. Are other things that interest you in the terms of investing, in, like real estate or even the stock market or things like that?
Yeah, I do. I do a little bit of all that. You know what I'm saying? Like, I've been into real estate. Like, I love real estate. You know what I'm saying? I like that. I do a lot of real estate. I also invest in, like, you know, I got some tech investments, some silent investments. We play. We got money in the market. You know, we try to like move it around.
Diversifying.
Yeah.
FaZe Clan, you involved with that?
Yeah. Early too. I was in there early.
Talk about that. You know what's so crazy is that FaZe Clan, I never heard of it before. My son, he's 12 and he's like a gamer. And he's the one that actually told me about FaZe Clan and FaZe Jarvis and all these different people. And I started to research them and I really like their business model, and just the name FaZe Clan remind me like Wu-Tang Clan.
Yeah.
Where it's like different people, they all got their own personalities, but they're all under one roof. So yeah, talk about your how you found those guys and what made you want to be involved in that.
See, I think as you're moving around, right, you probably heard people say that like hip hop music, it's a vehicle, right? If you're smart, you understand that what we do in the music is a vehicle to get other places. Right? Mm-hmm. So example, I was doing promo with an artist, Blockboy JB. Mm-hmm. I was doing promo with him, and we had to go do some content at some influencer's house. This house happened to be the FaZe Clan house. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. I think in a YouTuber, Rice Gum or something like that. It was a big YouTuber. And so we in there, and when we get to her, I'm kind of like amazed by their setup. And they got like two, three mansions side by side, but they use them as like
content houses.
Mm-hmm. I had never seen nothing like that. I'm like, so what y'all do now? You know what I'm saying? So hold on, who? So I got, the, you know, me being a hustler, my antennas jump up immediately. Who the manager? Let me get your information. And it kind of started there. Like, and it started from me just taking an artist to do some promo. And that led into me getting the contact of they managers and having meetings with them later on. And again, full surface where I end up investing in them. You know what I'm saying? But it really, that's how I started. Me going to do promo on some music shit.
Hustle's ambition.
Yeah.
So it's very interesting that we got interrupted by Mike Rubin and we're here in the Hype Nation office. I want to talk about your social justice that you've been doing. I know you and Jay recently y'all called off the suit with the Mississippi State Penitentiary. Yeah. Can you talk about what that was about and some of the improvements that were happening because of the suit?
I mean, the whole goal was to get improvements in the prison for the prisoners. You know what I'm saying? That's what it's all about. We're just trying to make it, make it a better place for the people that was in punishment. Mm-hmm. So, you know, they stepped up and added some programs, some better healthcare programs, some mental health programs, and they actually changed a lot of the systems around that was in there from when we first took action on it.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So, but, you know, we still got to watch it. We still got to watch it closely and make sure that, you know, they doing what they supposed to be doing.
Yeah, what made you want to get involved?
I mean, you know, I come from a family. Anybody that know me, like, you know, my family, I'm like one of them. I grew up in with my family being in prisons.
Mm-hmm.
So just that whole subject is, you know, it's a delicate situation to me. I grew up visiting prisons my whole child life, going to the Fed joint. I'm here to see my auntie, going to this Fed joint to see my other auntie, my father in prison. I'm writing him, I'm sending him money. My brother in prison, I'm writing him, I'm going to visit him. So I always travel in and out of visitations in prison. It's my family. These still regular people. These my loved ones. They may be doing time, but they still humans. You can't treat them like animals. And you feel me? Mm-hmm. So prison supposed to be for rehabilitation, right? You know what I mean? It ain't for what we see happening in Parchment. So when we see the videos come out and the pictures of what was happening in Parchment, it's like inhumane conditions. So,
yeah,
you know, that could be, you know, one of our brothers, cousins, uncles, daddies, you know, anybody that end up in prison for anything.
Yeah. I only ask because, I mean, there's plenty of artists who could be doing something, but very few do something. And so when I first heard the news about it a couple of years ago, I'm like, stand up. I mean, which is your character?
In Mississippi, like our backyard, you know,
that's what I was going to say, the proximity.
You know, you cross over one street. And, you know, you probably still think you're in Memphis, but you're actually in Mississippi.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? That's like our tri-state area. So I actually had partners and stuff that that done time in prison before.
Mm.
You know what I mean? Like, I know people that actually done time in that same prison.
Let me ask you this. As far as AI, what's your thoughts on AI? You know, we see a lot.
Yo, AI crazy.
You use it?
Nah, I'm still trying to, like, understand it fully. I tried to use it actually on this mixtape.
Oh yeah? To like your voice?
Yeah, it's a skit on this mixtape where it's a news person talking on the front of the song with me and Moneybagg Yo.
Mm-hmm.
Called Mind My Business.
Yeah.
We tried to get AI to do that. It ain't turn out right though.
The voice did.
It sounded too like robotic and like a computer.
Okay.
But we actually tried to do it. Mm-hmm. Like it's like if it's a talking part in Mind My Business, like a news reporter. In driveway furniture, it's another talking part in there. We tried to do, you know what I'm saying, on the quick tip, we like, yo, we just get AI to do it. You know what I mean? So we tried it, but it didn't turn out the proper way. So we had to end up getting somebody to actually do it.
What's your thoughts on it, though?
I think it's like next world, like next, what they call it, you know, way up three, that shit maybe way up four or five. I don't know, like, just what you're seeing doing it. It's kind of scary, though, the idea that, you know, it makes you wonder, like what gonna be like the need for people? You know what I mean? Like, if you can go on AI and get anything done. I was telling somebody in my company, like, we was just hiring somebody, they asked me, I wanted to read the resume. I said, nah. Like, they could have done this shit on AI. You feel me? You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. Like they could have just, you can write me a resume. Say I was the best so-and-so from this, you know what I'm saying? And the best piece of paper you can print out can come out, right? So I'm like, nah, you got to just, you know, we got to interview them. We got to put them in our face and we got to fill it out like that because it's different tools to play with out here now. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You can get tricked. You can get tricked easily and I don't know, maybe take like make shit seem more lazier because
yeah.
I mean you get the answers or you get the work done you can too easily almost in a sense.
It's gonna be more efficient, but even I think that's dope that you tried to incorporate, which means that you were educated on it because you knew what it was. I wonder from your standpoint as the exec of a label, are you educating the artists about like what's ahead for them, right? Because even from a standpoint, like if I wanted to create a verse that sounded like you and put that out, I'm not sure how you stop me, right? Because it technically isn't.
You can't stop it. Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. For him, you can't stop it. And so like if that song now becomes something that becomes a hit, social media, you never know, TikTok.
How you feel about that?
Take somebody somewhere.
Me as a hustler, I'm just trying to figure out how we eat off of it.
Yeah.
That's
I ain't
part.
Tripping. Like what? How we get, okay, what you doing? What's our part? You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, you know, I'm hustle first. I'm trying to figure out, like, you know, to me, I got an issue with it. If you're doing it, we can't get cut in. Now we got an issue. Right. You know what I'm saying? If you can bust it down, figure out, you know what I'm saying?
Rick it up.
Figure out how to bust it down and go to work. That's you know what I'm saying? If you can figure out how to bust it down, man, y'all go to work. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Yeah. It's that's gonna be an interesting time, right? Because that's one of those things. That it would be a copyright claim, but who are you facing that charge with, right? The person who created it or the AI that created it?
I think they're trying to figure that out right now.
Yeah.
I think it's a lot of back and forth about trying to figure out, like, you know, how they're going to work, how they, like, what's right, what's wrong, what's, you know what I'm saying, who you reach out to, how you get compensated.
So the one thing that artists do have an advantage is that AI can't, well, not yet, can't do a live show. Right, like that's one of those things that
we saw a Tupac hologram.
But that happened 10 years ago.
Exactly.
I'm just saying, I'm saying it's not going to happen. It hasn't happened yet. So they still have that to their advantage. But what we're seeing now is that a lot of times when people are going on tours and we're seeing people's reaction to the live show has changed, right? Ticket sales have changed over the past couple of years. COVID has affected that. What are your thoughts about having an artist being ready to go out on a tour, being an opening act for a tour? How do you prepare them for that moment based on like the data that y'all got?
Like an artist being an opening act on a tour?
Yeah, like getting them ready to go out on tour.
How do you feel about touring, period? Because the talk is that touring is slowing down right now for a lot of artists.
Man, I look at it like this, right? It's like, you know, it's just adjustments, bro. As a hustler, you got to know how to adjust. Mm. You know what I mean? Like, you know, every day ain't going to be the best day. You know what I mean? It come with it. Like, you got to adjust, you know what I mean? Sometimes it's going to be your tour. Sometimes it's somebody else's tour. You opening up or you direct support. You just got to know how to, like, adjust and get the business done, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. And I think the whole thing with them saying tickets, sales, declining, or it ain't a good time for touring, but it's still people. You know what I mean? It's still people in the building. So what's the difference? You got maybe it's 8,000 instead of 12. Mm-hmm. Adjust the numbers. Adjust the venue size. Keep going.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, to me, just go back in the beginning, like, I ain't no complainer. Like, but see what it is and let's keep going. Years ago, hip-hop was down. Then hip-hop was the number one genre of music. Now it went down a little bit more. You know what I'm saying? Like that. But you're gonna have adjustments in business, in any business. If you were selling donuts or t-shirts, you probably have a year where you with a business up 30%. You may have a year with a business down 10%. It's just cause of business. So I think people are just overreacting on the shit. Basically, you know what I'm saying? I think, you know, it's a lot of tours out. You know, everybody been excited to get outside. We've been down, COVID.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? But I think it's just, to me, it's regular schedule programming. It's just one of those things where, you know, next year everything may be back up.
Yeah. Is that still, from an artist standpoint, when we're talking about revenues of income for an artist, touring, is that still number one above everything else? Or are there other things like maybe sponsorships or ad deals or something like that they have?
Depending on who you is, I think. But I always think touring is like probably the fastest money to get because you can get it every weekend.
Right.
2-3 times a weekend right now. Right here. Right. So yeah. I think touring is going to always be like a big income revenue for artists.
Yeah.
A lot of artists have issues. IRS or their accountant might have taken advantage of them, or business manager. You ever have any issues?
No, I ain't had them type of issues, but I did have I didn't have them type of issues where it affected me, but I did have a lack of information in the beginning when it came to that area. You know, unfortunately for me, because, you know, I'm good with my money. I'm good with saving money. I'm good with keeping money. That even when I learned the information, I was in position to handle it. Mm. You know what I mean? Because I grew up, maybe they should teach this in school too, because I grew up thinking when we heard of taxes, my mom and them got tax money. Mm-hmm. That's when we got new Jordans. We got new outfits. We got new Jordans. It was a celebration when it was tax time. Right. Waiting on tax time. That was better than Christmas.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I didn't know in the, you know, my even in my earliest stages of getting money, I didn't know we had to pay. So it ain't that I didn't want to pay or that I wouldn't pay. Yeah. I didn't know because of lack of information. They ain't teach me that in school.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Nobody taught me that in school. When I opened up my bank and started putting big checks in the bank, my banker didn't tell me I had to pay taxes. I didn't have a CPA in the beginning, so I didn't know that, right? So for me, I was buying real estate early, right? And I just happened to get a letter. They said, like, yo, we're going to, what they call it, like, seize your property if you don't pay this. And
yeah, put a lien on it.
I didn't even know you had to pay property taxes on a house that you had paid cash for.
Yeah, like, I repaid for.
Keep in mind, at this time, bro, I got 10, 15 houses I didn't pay cash for that I didn't have for 4 or 5 years that I never paid property taxes on because I didn't know.
For 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
I didn't know. So it just so happened that I get a letter in the mail telling me that they're going to seize the properties if I don't pay these property taxes and I get a letter about the tax. But I, you know what I'm saying? So I hit my lawyer at the time that wasn't even a tax lawyer. He just, you know, he was a criminal lawyer. A lawyer I know from back in the G. You know what I'm saying? So I hit him like, yo, let me, I need to send you these papers. And he sent me to a tax lawyer and a CPA, you know what I mean? And I sat down with them and they pretty much put me on game. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is how this works. This is how this go. You know what I mean? Go get your statements. We'll look, get everything together. This is what you owe. This is how it go. Mm. Like, all right,
cool. But luckily for you, you had money.
Yeah, saved. I had the paper to handle it. But I do think that's a thing though. Cause I do think that's a thing where depending on where you, how you grow up, you may not even know that exists, and then you ain't good with the paper. And by the time it come to your front doorstep, you ain't in position.
Well, let me ask you.
So you in the hole you deep in the hole. So one of the things I do, you know, we make sure we tell the artist that first time we give you a dollar.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? We give you money, yo, make sure you're doing this. And we even advise certain things, make sure you get you a CPA, make sure you get you this, make sure you get you that.
Do you set them up with one or?
Yeah,
do you give them a CPA to work?
No. I don't ever want to give an artist nothing like that because I don't never want to be like, oh,
it's conflict.
You set me up. It's your people.
Conflict of interest.
You know what I'm saying? It's your people and the money ain't right and I ain't doing that.
I
you know what I mean? I'm giving you the information like, yo, you need this, you need that, you need this, and this why. And I'm giving them the example, the same thing I just told y'all, man, this is what happened to me.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? I ain't knowing, you know, this is what happened, so make sure this don't happen to you.
Hold on. Let me just ask my follow-up. So I have a friend who's an executive at a label, and he brought the idea where, you know, in the NBA and the NFL, they have, like, the rookie symposium. When you get drafted, like, all of the rookies come to, like, Vegas for, like, the weekend, and they give them all different types of lessons. And, like, one of the lessons is, like, they get, like, financial advisors to, like, educate them.
Yeah.
A lot of people don't listen, but at least they got, like, boot camp. So he was saying, like, they should have, like, a symposium for all, like, artists.
I think
when you first get a record deal, like, you got to go through this. At least you can say that you didn't know. Like, you know what I mean? Like, now you make a conscious decision not to pay taxes. That's on you. But it's like, you know, like you said, you take a kid 18, 17 years old. I never really even had a job.
Yeah.
And, you know, how you really expect him to know about handling all of this? And so what's your thoughts on that idea?
No, I agree with that. I actually was talking to somebody I know that do management, and he was telling me that they don't even take clients unless part of their contract is you have to have a CPA for them to even do business with you. Like, we not even doing straight up business with just us and you when it come to financial. Like, we want to deal with your CPA so it's always clean and straight up from the beginning. That's something I actually made start implicating in my contracts, you know what I'm saying? Because I think it's important. Like, I just think, like, you know, I do non-music related jobs for my artists. Now, I mean, like, stuff like that, we talk about to help them do whatever it is. If you're trying to buy a house, a car, like, we involved in anything you allow us to be involved in. You know what I'm saying? Because we look at you as family. We don't want you to do it wrong. We don't want you to pay more because you didn't have the right information to do it. Mm-hmm. We don't want nobody to scam you. You know what I'm saying? We don't want you to run into these hurdles that we probably already ran through. We already paid for the mistake. So we're going to try to bypass you past those mistakes. So I work with all my artists on stuff like that. It's non-music related. There ain't no nothing I owe to do in my contract. That's just like from the, you know, goodness of our heart. I want to see, you know, our family do it the right way. So I do think if they was putting it, you know, in the record labels or a part of the structures or, you know, in the schools again, because, you know, I ain't no dumb nigga. You feel me? Like, you feel me? Like, I made A's in school. You know what I'm saying? And I didn't know about it.
Yeah.
So I wouldn't even say, like, you know what I'm saying? How they try to play on us, like, yeah. Oh, you from a certain place, you don't know. Nah. You know, I'm one of the ones that had A's, and I still didn't know about it.
Yeah, I mean, that it's a fact. I mean, it's something that we're working on as well to get curriculum put into the school district. We're starting here in New York City, but hopefully it'll be something that goes throughout the United States and eventually throughout the world. I was wondering this, though, from a standpoint of being an independent artist and having the margins when you're independent look a little different. What's your thoughts about streaming in this day and age and having, you know, people rely on streaming as a source of income? Because again, we don't really know how much one stream is equaled, or we don't know how much a million streams is equal. So what's your thoughts about that? Because we've seen you put out plenty of hits, right? Like multi-platinum hits. So what's your thoughts on streaming in this day and age?
I mean, I actually like streaming better than how it was, you know, when it was just physical CDs. Because I think that for multiple reasons, I think that the replay value of a record today, I think, is way more current and stays up than when it was on a physical CD. I feel like if you scratched up your CD and lost it, was you really going back to the store to buy the CD over and over and over again? I feel like you don't got to deal with that. You just pick up your phone and you can listen to that song from 10 years ago whenever you feel like it. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? As the world gets smarter, also people get lazier. So I don't think a core hard Gotti fan is going to buy that CD 10 times over. You know what I'm saying? But I think you will listen to it on your phone whenever you feel like it, or you get in the mood.
Yeah.
You can go back 20 years if you want to. Yeah. Right here at your fingertip. So I like the idea of streaming. I think it's been some research too that shows that catalog performs better with streaming, I think.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? So I ain't got no issue with streaming. I actually like it. I think we just got to keep working on it to make sure we get our fair share of you know, the business off of it.
Speaking of fair share, just a quick follow-up. I wonder if the good folks at Instagram ever reached out to you after you put out the song DM.
Nah. Snapchat either.
Oh my gosh.
Snapchat or DM. Oh, I ain't never got a dollar.
Jeez.
You feel me?
A lot of swimming happened in the DMs. Yeah.
Man, I feel like they owe me a nice one.
That's a fact.
They owe me a nice little check.
Equity play on that one, man. For sure. On some stock.
You know what I'm saying?
Cut the check, man. Nah, we appreciate you, man. Before we leave, any words of advice for any, you know, entrepreneur, anybody that, you know, might be looking at you for guidance, like, you know, any daily routines or anything that you want to just kind of, you know, give some words of encouragement, anything?
I just say, you know, whatever you're doing, do it. You know what I mean? Like, do it for real. You know what I'm saying? Like, time is the most valuable thing in the world. That's your biggest asset. So don't play with it. If you're going to do it for real. You know what I'm saying? Do it. You know, even if people don't think you can do it, you know what I mean? Prove them wrong and achieve whatever that is you want to achieve. And test yourself or challenge yourself. Challenge yourself to do more or leave a bigger impact. You know what I mean? That's what I'm on right now. I'm trying to build a legacy. Everything is about the impact, how many people I can help, how many people I can touch. You know, while I'm on my journey to do what I'm trying to do, how many people I can bring with me, how many lives we can change, you know what I'm saying, along the way. Keep it pushing.
Pop your shit.
Appreciate you.
Oh, I got a question for y'all, though.
Yeah, let's do it.
Yeah, yeah. I got a question for y'all, because y'all left me off that list, too.
You saw the list. I was gonna bring up the list.
It was
honorable mention.
He was definitely in the conversation. So
everybody was sending me that. I'm like, I ain't, Yeah.
Well, what do you, all right, so let's talk about this then. So what's your top 10? And this was actually, he was involved in this. It was us three.
Yes. We called in a few friends.
Who do we have on that list? We had Birdman at number one.
We did.
We had
Jay.
Birdman. Diddy. Can we pull this list up?
Dr. Dre.
Please.
We had JD.
Very important. Let me see.
Irv was in there.
Hold on.
But I'm happy that it reached you.
I pulled it up. All right, so here we go. This is the list. We'll put it on the graphic. So we did it. Everybody was doing a top 10 rapper list, top 50 rapper list. So we wanted to be different, and we put together a top 10 list of hip-hop label CEOs. Number 10, Marion Suge Knight.
Any argument there?
Suge Knight. Number 10. Number 9, Jermaine Dupri. Number 8, Dame Dash. Number 7, L.A. Reid. Number 6, Master P. Number 5,
Russell Simmons.
Yeah. Number 4, Dr. Dre. Number 3, Jay-Z. Number 2, Diddy. And number 1 was Birdman.
Brian Williams.
Baby.
But that counts as Baby and Slim.
Yeah.
But we did have an honorable man.
We
had 15. And then everybody was like, nah, it has to be 10. So CMG was on there. You were on there.
And the honorable mention?
Yeah. Because we also had Quality Control on there as well.
QC.
Because it was a lot of like, wait, there was Quality Control. They were on there. Irv, you didn't say. Irv was in our honorable mention as
Irv
well.
Irv Gotti?
Yeah, Irv was in there as well.
Mm-hmm. I know. I respect all of them. I feel like P probably should have been higher.
Master P.
P, you put him, he's number 5. So you put him higher.
I think people about six. I think I had P like six.
No, yeah. We got Russell Simmons in front of him, Dr. Dre, Jay-Z, Puff, and Birdman.
Yeah. Who would be your top 5?
P most definitely got to be at the top. Bird. See, I feel like, I just feel like in the South, we hustle different. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we had bigger challenges.
True.
Fair.
That's you know true. What I'm saying? So fair. To see what P accomplished, to see what Master P accomplished, see what Birdman and Slim accomplished.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I don't think y'all didn't have rap a lot enough.
We had Jay, I was going to say Jay Prince was an honorable mention as well.
Here's the thing. If we could just be, so, all right. Suge Knight, I felt like he had the most powerful record label, but it was for a very short period of time. But when you look at Snoop, Dr. Dre, and Tupac, it's kind of difficult to go against that.
Can't argue that.
And he revolutionized the game as far as that independent structure on a very large scale.
Yeah.
Jermaine Dupri is underrated. He's very underrated because he has a long consistency.
I got super respect for Jermaine. Jermaine a producer too, though, right?
That's why he's there.
And a songwriter.
Because he's a producer, but he's an exec too. Yeah. So some people argue, yes, more of his catalog might be R&B, but people forget a lot of the hip-hop that he's done.
He did a lot.
Yeah, he is a successful artist. For
yeah,
sure.
Yeah.
Dame Dash changed the game.
They were arguing that one too, because we should have maybe have put Jay together, but we separated Jay.
Because Jay had a long
Rock Nation.
I love Dame and Def, but it kind of ended after Rockefeller.
Right.
Jay's still 20 years later and still, you know what I'm saying? So,
yeah.
And L.A. Reid is L.A. Reid. Masterpiece.
L.A. Reid, we took from LaFace to him coming.
Not just hip hop.
No, I'm saying we start LaFace, but we go to Def Jam to Epic. So we had to put.
Yeah, I learned a lot from L.A. Reid. Like one of my mentors. When I said I wasn't gonna rock with a major again,
yeah.
I was standing on it, and L.A. Reid was the person that made me like start back working with a major. So I done a label deal with Epic with L.A. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I learned a lot. I'm from LA.
All right. So you stay with us.
But Master P, he a lot of people said like he should have been much higher, but he did have a hell of a run. But it was shorter.
P? Master P?
Percy Miller. Short? And
Shorter.
Here's why.
Master P putting out what 50 album? Huh?
No.
The time period.
Went from like mid 90s to 99.
Maybe 2000-ish. But so, the reason it was because of the success of Cash Money.
That's what I'm saying too, though. I study this shit. Right?
Yeah, go ahead.
This shit like, it's like class to me.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
I like this.
I looked at everybody's story. I watched everybody. If you put out any story, wrote any book, I read everybody's story. I watched everybody you know, where everybody went up it. I watched where everybody failed it.
Yeah.
That's homework for me. You know what I'm saying? That's how I learn directly and indirectly. When I say somebody like P, to me, it's a difference from, you know, if you get a, and I ain't taking nothing from nobody, but to me, you playing with different tools. Meaning that, like, if you go into one of these record labels already in New York, right?
Mm-hmm.
And the system is there, and you create good music, you already have the system. Well, I'm telling you, niggas like P created the system.
From nothing.
You know what I'm saying? Like, they didn't have, they weren't playing with the same tools.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They weren't playing with the same tools. And then if you look at the numbers,
numbers
triple or four or five times, and they weren't playing with the same tools.
And you have a 90-10 split, something like
that. You know what I'm saying? So like,
this is crazy.
So what's your tool?
It's different.
And we just talking music about it. So like anything different they've done out. So like he's done a lot of things outside of music, of course. So we was just talking music.
Who's your top five CEOs?
Top five, I'm going Jay just because, like, Jay, like, it's like, what Jay do is like, are you saying just music?
No, just for music. Like, record label CEOs.
Record label CEO.
So not what they did outside of music, just what they were able to accomplish in music.
But I don't know if you got to include that because it's all the vehicle.
That was the part.
It's all the vehicle and the impact. It's all the vehicle and the impact that they brought to the culture.
Yeah.
All right. So that's fine. So, all right. So,
you know what I'm saying?
So, you can include outside too. Your top five CEOs.
I go Jay and P and Jay Master P, Birdman Slim. Who else y'all have on that team?
Diddy. Got Diddy in there? You don't have Diddy in there.
Diddy.
No Sean Combs.
Diddy. That's 30 years Sean.
Yeah, Diddy one too.
okay. Nah, so we're on the same page.
You can't play with Diddy.
Wow, okay.
You have to think too. You're just thinking back. You're like, Mason, Big,
and
112.
And then if you want to do all
Mary J.
With Fresh Montana.
Yeah, Diddy got to be.
Dr. Dre's not in there?
Yeah, Dre.
So yeah,
Dr. Dre.
That would be five.
Dre is Dre M50. Yeah.
Yeah.
Kendrick.
Yeah.
Game.
Kendrick. Who did it? How many I met?
That's five.
Who we ain't put that was in the team though?
You didn't put
yourself.
Jay Prince. You didn't put yourself. You didn't put
Quality Control.
L.A. Reid.
And we had Sylvia Ronan there and Irv Gotti.
You didn't put Suge Knight.
I'll probably go with that five and oh. See, I feel like when people were sending it to me, you know, we live in this 2023, 22.
Yeah.
You know, people got short memories.
Right.
People thinking about CMG now.
No, that's a fact.
Thinking about QC now.
That's a
exactly.
Fact.
You know what I mean?
That's what Birdman said.
The game right
you know what I mean?
So Birdman responded and said, yo, that's dope, but you need to be on it and Quality Control need to be on
it. He said Quality Control should have been number two. Too far. He took it too far.
He did.
But
if you're talking like somebody for the past 10 years.
If you're talking about in the last, you know.
10 years?
No, last 10 years for sure.
Definitely.
I mean, who I don't know who doing what me and P doing.
No, you.
P, you know what I'm saying? P from Clark,
yeah,
P QC.
Yeah.
You got the hottest label out.
You know, me and P talk like.
We should have had y'all on there?
No. I'm saying we talk about like, you know, it's mutual respect of like, if one of these younger artists lands with myself or him, you know, they got a better shot.
Yeah, for sure.
1,000%.
You know what I'm saying?
1,000%.
But that was probably the same as if you landed with Cash Money or No Limit back then. You had a better shot or Rockefeller or Rough Riders or something. You know what I'm saying?
Is there an artist that y'all were both involved in signing or about to sign and they went with you?
I don't know. You know, everybody be out to the same artist kind of. I'm pretty sure we probably were talking to some of the same people at the same time. When I was talking to Glow, I feel like, you know, every record label in the music business was talking to her. And yeah. I was the last one to talk to her. You know what I'm saying? We did some stuff together, like with 42 Doug, you know, Lil Baby a part of it.
Oof.
You know what I'm saying? So I look at that as like, you know, Lil Baby and 4PF, yeah. You know, QC, it's all the
money
same.
Bag and Lil Baby.
Umbrella. So, you know what I'm saying?
No, you're on a hell of a run. So right now, you're the highest label right now. You would say?
Of course.
Where do you rank yourself as all-time CEO? Think you're top 10?
I think we're in there, but I also think, you know, humbly, I feel like we got a lot more work to do.
I like your key thing that you just said. You said, I didn't ask you about we. I said, do you think you're a top CEO? And you said, I think we are in there.
Yeah.
That says a lot about your character.
Yeah. Because again, it ain't the same me by myself. Like if I didn't have Bag and I didn't have Glow and I didn't have G and I didn't have Dub, you know what I mean? And Youngster and Block and all these artists I was able to work with. You know, we is CMG.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I mean?
Collective.
Like, you know, you better come together like the Transformer. You know what I'm saying? We put all of us together. We CMG. And I feel like we need every piece. We need every part that will make us us. You know what I'm saying? So this thing we building is all of ours.
Well,
appreciate you, my brother.
We will update the list. from Gotti point of view.
Appreciate it.
How'd I do?
I'm glad.
I was listening to that coming down.
My point of view.
View. Yeah. Right. I left the W off.
Put the R in there.
That Memphis accent. Shout out to Gotti, man. We appreciate your time. Make sure you get the new project. And
yes, I showed you so.
Yeah, for sure.
For sure.
Earners, what's going on? Listen, EYLU is relaunching, revamping, retooling. That's right. We're creating a new educational experience that's more expansive. Shari, tell them what we got.
Yes, 2023. We got a lot in store, a lot planned for you guys. So you know that EYLU already includes monthly financial planning calls with me, book club calls with Troy, real estate calls with MG the Mortgage Guy, access to the home buying blueprint, volume 1 and volume 2. Part of the revamp will include 27 local chapters from across the United States, live interactive teaching, hands-on, not just pre-recorded videos, plus 15 brand new curriculums.
The biggest just got bigger. Head over to EYLUniversity.com. That's EYLUniversity.com. See you there.
Save big on your Memorial Day barbecue, all in the Kroger app. Get half gallons of delicious Kroger milk for $1.29 each. Then get flavorful Tyson Natural Boneless Chicken Breasts for $2.49 a pound, all with your card and a digital coupon. Shop these deals at your local Kroger, less than 5 miles away. Or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.